Those of you who are unable to be here but are live streaming, welcome. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here. We've had safe travels for these last week as my family and I traveled through California. And the other day as we were traveling, we listened off of the website to, we were driving, we wanted to listen to a sermon. So we listened to Andy as he preached last Sunday morning about the goals for this year, and so imagine my surprise when I saw him up here again. But you know, sometimes we have to fill in when people are missing, and that's one of our responsibilities. And I know the Lord has worked upon Andy's heart. He's got a lesson here for us, and I know that we will be blessed if we're willing to put our hearts to hear and to understand the word of the Lord. So I will give you our brother and pastor, Elder Andy Brown.
Turn your mic on. That's true.
How about now? No? Maybe? Yeah, there we go. I do welcome you each here. I have some thoughts I'd like to share with you today. I brought a snack just in case it gets long. A little different sermon than I normally possibly would have. As I was praying and contemplating what I might bring to you today, these particular thoughts came to my mind. I find myself oftentimes in my sermons, talking about very day-to-day needs that we have as human beings, very much a kind of a hands-on, boots-on-the-ground type guy that just really wants to deal with what's right in front of us right now. But this one here is has a title. That's a good thing. Most of them don't. A blessed people. And as I thought about this and prayed about this, I thought, you know, we are a blessed people. This little Church of Christ, this United States, are such a blessed people. And oftentimes I'm afraid that we take it for granted, that we don't really necessarily appreciate it. I'd like to read a verse of Scripture to start with, found in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Blessed is a man who walketh not after the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But he delighteth in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by a river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff," and that meaning the disposable or the garbage part of wheat, "the chaff which the wind driveth away. Wherefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, or the sinner, nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And so, as in most of the Psalms, we see a comparison. These words to get us started this morning, "Blessed is the man that walketh not under the counsel of the ungodly, nor setteth in the way of sinner, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful." And as I read, and I read a lot of verses, I don't have a lot of verses today, but I read a lot of verses talking about people who are blessed, talking about God's blessing upon His people. And almost throughout all those verses, I found a common thread, and that is, for those that are blessed, we have a responsibility. So here I go, right back to where I always am. We have a responsibility. We're a blessed people, but we have a responsibility. There's a reason we're blessed. There's a reason that we receive and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. And now some of you may be saying, well, that may be easy for you to say, you know, I have this wrong with me, or, I got more bills than I do money, or I have, my children are not where they should be, or, well, that may be true. We're all born to problems. We all have difficulties. But we don't have to look very far before we begin to realize how blessed we are. I have a question. I can tell you this sermon come with a quiz. How many people are on the earth? Can anybody tell me?
About 7 billion.
A lot. Took that for a second for it to soak in. A lot, yeah. There's a lot of people on the earth. I'm going to tell you in a minute. I'll keep you in suspense. World population by religion. 31% of the world's population is Christian. Out of that, 50% of that 31% is Catholic, 27% Protestant, 12% Orthodox of some kind, and 1% other. That might be us, that 1%. I was a little surprised at the next one. If someone was really good at math, they could add all those figures up and tell me how many people. 23% of them are Muslim. 16% claim no religion. Hindu is at 15%, of course, primarily in India, in Pakistan, that area of the world. 7% Buddhist. I'm just drawing a blank as I look at it. And then 6% is folk religion, which is mainly tribal. And then other religions, 1%. And that's, your Hare Krishna type. And then 2% is Jewish. 0.2%, excuse me. 7.4, 7.6 billion people on the earth. And growing quickly, very quickly. I found it interesting that I believe it was in the 14th century around 3 million people passed away from the plague in Europe. And it took, almost 100 years for the population to catch back up to where it was. And there's several places in history that, the population, like during the Crusades, and that almost stood still, or because of sickness or the lack of sanitation, the population didn't really grow that much. But since the Industrial Revolution, since the restoration of the gospel, the world population has exploded. And it's not doing too bad right at the moment, but it is growing. I got a statistic that some of you may not appreciate. Next. About 2.4 billion people on the planet don't have a toilet. And some of us have been in some of those places, so we can appreciate that. About 41 million people in Pakistan do not have a toilet. 60 million people, or 60% of the people in India, same way. And it actually was, about 1 point some million people in the United States still using the outhouse. But we know they're not talking about Grand Junction. They do have indoor plumbing. I say that because I used to have an outhouse, I kind of make light of it, but at the same time, we don't have to look very far to see how blessed we are. And for those of you who have had the privilege to travel outside the United States, you don't have to look very far. I had four job interviews last week. And in one of those interviews, I got talking on some wild tangent like I do. And the gentleman there who I was speaking with had traveled outside the country, and I told him I had as well. And I made a comment to him, and the same one I've made to most of you probably. I feel it would be a good thing for every young person in the United States to take a trip outside the United States. And not to Europe, not to Hawaii, not to the Caribbean, somewhere in a third world country, and actually see how the bulk of the world's population lives. The bulk of the world's population does not live like we do. Okay, there's a few places in Europe, there's a few places in the wealthier Asian countries of the world, and the United States that lives like we do. Everybody else on the planet lives far below the standard that we do. This gentleman's gathering up some plastic bottles to recycle out of open sewage. Not exactly something that you and I have to look at day after day, huh? Not something that's flowing through our neighborhood. I believe this was in Indonesia. That's how most of the world's population lives. Trash everywhere, raw sewage, sickness, you know. I don't know what it is now, but at one time there were several African countries that the life expectancy for a male was 43, 45 years old. Not very old by our standards. So my point in all this is we're a blessed people. We're a blessed people. And the question is, what are we doing about it? Are we just hanging out, enjoying the blessing? Yesterday afternoon, I made a quick trip up to Payson Pine area, and our brother Zach rode up there with me. He and I got off on a really good discussion, and part of that discussion was my sermon. He got a regurgitation of my sermon from last Sunday. Whether he wanted it or not, I don't know, but... And that was about our talents, you know, that we, and I made the comment to him, I get frustrated at myself, at others. You know, I feel like we need to get our shovel out, go out in the backyard, and dig up our talents and put them to work and quit hiding them. I feel like the same way, we live in such a blessed place on the planet. And you and I live in such a blessed state, having this body of people, having the blessings of the Lord, you know, and a lot of it has to do with how we view the world, you know. I asked our brother Adam, most of you know, he's unemployed at the moment, and he was telling me some of his plans and stuff, and I looked at him and said, are any of those plans have anything to do with getting a job? And of course they do, you know, but that's... that's not necessarily a worry, you know. As most of you know, I'm going to be unemployed and I could be chewing my fingernails off right now. But it doesn't matter. That's not the focus. The focus is, you know, thank you, Lord. You know, thank you, Lord. And, you know, I don't know how my whole job thing is going to turn out. Remains to be seen. But I can say right up front, thank you, Lord, for the experiences that He gives us in life and the ability to look at those things through the eyes of blessing and not the eyes of cursing. Psalms chapter 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people who He has chosen for His inheritance. That's you and I. He has chosen us, and we have chosen Him. We walked into the waters of baptism, we chose Him. We chose Him. We said, Lord, we want to be a part of Your inheritance. So are we acting like it? Psalms chapter 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Okay, you say, well, the only question I have there is that, you know, do I fit into that category of a scriptural good man, you know? And we try. We try. We're not always successful. But we have faith that the Lord's going to order our steps. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen a righteous man forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and leadeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. You know, all these words are just words unless we do something with them. Unless they soak in and have a deeper meaning. You know, I enjoyed my conversation yesterday with Zach, and I don't think he's watching this, so hopefully if he is, he'll forgive me if I say something I shouldn't. But, you know, I look at him as a young man who at some point in his life became serious about his relationship with the Lord. And when he did, a lot of other things in life became serious and became open to him. And the Lord blessed him. And so oftentimes I find that the Lord is waiting on us. He's waiting on us to take the next step. And then He'll take the next step. He's waiting on us to crack the cover open on our scriptures and begin to read. And then He can give you the understanding. He's waiting on you to get up off the couch and go seek, find some way you can serve. And He'll bless you in it. He's not going to run in there and drag you off the couch and make you go do something. It's up to us. The steps of a good man are ordered up by the Lord. I love the 25th verse. It's one of my favorite verses. And it says, I've never seen a righteous man forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We can rely upon that the Lord will bless us in our endeavors, as long as they're right, as long as they're good. You know, I'm going to be out of job. Adam's going to be out of job. Am I worried that Adam's going to be down here on the corner of 29th Street and Union Hills with a cardboard sign? No, I'm not really worried about that. You know, I'm not worried about that because I know the Lord has blessing. And I'm thankful for it because we live in a blessed land, in a blessed place, and worship and serve a God who blesses His children. Oops, that didn't go anywhere, did it? There we go. Chapter 7, the book of Moroni. I want to talk about something else for just a minute. I oftentimes find that when I do have opportunity to speak to you, my goal is to help our perspective. You know, the fact that I brought up there's 7.4 million people on the earth. And we're just a little tiny handful of them, aren't we? But the Lord has a purpose for us, and He has blessing for us, and He's proved it over and over again. The fact that some of us don't really have a perspective of where we came from, as in we've lived on 29th place our whole life, or you know, we've lived definitely here in the United States most of our life. There's a few people here that haven't. They have a different perspective. They look at things differently. And maybe you get tired of me talking about perspective, but I find it important if we're going to be able to make a change in our life. The first thing we have to do is see there's a need for us to change. And if we can't look at ourselves differently than we did yesterday, we may never see we need to change. You know, my prayer is that I'll see myself as the Lord sees me. Because that's what we're headed for. The day we stand before His judgment bar, we want to be seen as He sees us. Now, I want to know how that is. If I have corrections that need to be made, if I have things I need to do more, do less, whatever it is, I need to know that now. So I need to ask somebody to help me, and I know Logan probably just loves this, but he always gets picked on. Logan, would you come up here, please? Just a quick example here, and I've made reference to this before, and I tried to remember if I'd ever brought my cake mix to church before. I don't think I have. I know you're homeschooled, so I know you know how to read. I have two cake mixes here. Logan's going to look at the instructions on both of them. Go ahead, Logan, look at the instructions. What I want to do is I want to make a cake. I was going to bring my pan and my bowl and all that, but I thought it would probably get kind of messy. I want to make a cake, one chocolate cake and one white cake. or yellow cake. Can I do that? Why not?
It has to have the ingredients for it.
What's that?
You have to have the ingredients for it.
What do I have the ingredients for?
You have to have the 1 cup of water, 1/3 cup of butter, and 3 eggs.
Well, we're out of luck to start with then, huh? And what kind of cake mix is this?
Yellow one.
Oh, that's a yellow cake mix. How about this one?
That one. It's yellow also.
It's a yellow cake mix also. So you don't think I make a chocolate cake out of one of these?
Well, you could if you have the ingredients.
If I had the right ingredients, yeah. But what if I just mix it up, put it in the oven, and anticipate a chocolate cake coming out?
It's not going to work.
Not going to work? What if I try it again? Mix it up, put it in the oven, and anticipate a chocolate cake coming out?
Not going to work.
Still not going to work? Man, you're no help at all. Why don't you go sit down? Thank you. My point being is this is what we do in life. We use the same cake mix, the same recipe, and somehow anticipate a different outcome. Spiritual, in our spiritual walk, in our relationships, how we treat our spouse or don't treat our spouse. Somehow we want things to get better. Somehow we want to fix things. But we use the exact same recipe we used yesterday and anticipate a different outcome. Doesn't happen, does it? Doesn't happen. We live in a blessed land, and I don't anticipate that blessing going anywhere anytime soon. Things may change. Things around us may change. But the Lord knows where we're at, and He will know our blessing. We will know His blessing. Adam's looking awful perplexed over there. Something on the screen. I want to read a few verses here from the 7th chapter of Moroni. And now, my brethren, I judge these things of you because of your peaceable walk with the children of men. For I remember the word of God, which saith, by their works ye shall know them. For if their works be good, then they are good also. For behold, God has said, a man being evil cannot do that which is good. For if he offereth a gift or pray unto God, except it shall he shall do it with real intent, it profiteth him nothing. For behold, it is not counted unto him for righteousness. For behold, if a man bringeth, being evil, giveth a gift, he doth it grudgingly. Therefore, it is counted unto him the same as if he retained the gift. Therefore, it is counted unto him for evil before God. So how does this all fit? If we're blessed, which I think hopefully we can all see that. We can all see that we're living a blessed land, that we're a blessed people. Oh, then what are we doing about it? What is our responsibility? How are we taking that blessing? No different than I talked last week about taking our talents and doing something with them. How are we taking that blessing and using that for the benefit of the work of the gospel? Using that for the Lord. Can people around you see your good works? Do people know who you are? Have you declared yourself to those around you? Are you developing your talents? Are you taking the Lord's blessing and using it for His benefit or for your own? Are we, and I've mentioned this before, you know, are we just putting the shirt and tie on, smiling pretty and saying, hi, brother, hi, sister, and then going on our way? Our perspective. Are we mixing up the same old yellow cake mix every day and hoping, desiring some different outcome in our life? What am I really talking about? I'm talking about using the things the Lord has given us to create change in us, to make a change in us that would be for good. I'm going to continue to read here in Moroni, the next verse. And it says, "And likewise also it is counted evil unto a man if he pray and not with real intent of heart. Yea, it profiteth him nothing." We can go through the motions. We can get up on Sunday morning, put our shirt and our Sunday clothes on and go to church and say the right things and do the right things and then go on our merry way the rest of the week and not really be who the Lord would have us to be. And I really think there's someone, doesn't necessarily talk about it here, but I think there's someone in between this righteous man or this good man that the psalmist talked about and this guy here that is evil, is counted evil unto him. I think there's a guy in between those, you know. And the scriptures talk about him. He's lukewarm. He's on the fence. He shows up here because he knows he should, or she. I'm not talking about a particular individual. Could be any one of us at any given time in our life. We know what the right thing to do is, but somehow we don't do it with zeal. We don't do it with passion. We're just going through the motions. We show up because we know it's the correct place I ought to be on Sunday morning, or it's the right thing to do to pay my tithing, or to and there's nothing wrong with that. We want you to do the right thing. But there's a difference between that guy and the guy who's on fire about it. The guy who's enthusiastic about it, about serving the Lord. And it has to do with total buy-in. I've talked to you somewhat in the past about work and you know, we get different programs. We try and get people to become engaged, and I know some of you like Gary works for cities or these big companies. You know, they have a lot of programs that try to encourage their workforce to get engaged and stay engaged. I talked to a gentleman last week. He'd worked for the same company for 32 years in a construction company. And that's a long time to work for a construction company. You know, and how do you keep someone engaged that long? Truly striving to for the betterment of the company. But that's what the Lord expects from us. That when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to our walk in life, when it comes to righteousness, that we become this person who is always engaged, always promoting. And I think the first verse I read there has something to do with it. It's a meditation upon the Lord and upon His Word day and night. Let's look here in verse 8. It says, "Likewise, it's counted evil unto him if he should pray and not with real intent of heart. It profiteth him nothing, for God receiveth none such. Therefore, a man being evil cannot bring forth that which is good, neither will he give a good gift. For behold, a bitter fountain cannot bring forth good water, neither can a good fountain bring forth bitter water. Wherefore, a man being a servant of the devil cannot follow Christ, and if he followeth Christ, he cannot be a servant of the devil." And, you know, really in these verses, Moroni is trying to say, you're on one side or the other. In this day and age, we have a lot of people that are interested in sports. The last couple weeks, we've had everybody, probably a lot of people watching the Olympics. And, you know, it's a team. There's a team. And the Lord's saying, and Moroni here was saying, choose the team you're on. Whose side are you on? You can't be on both sides. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the gospel, and yet truly take the blessings that the Lord has given us and be grateful for them. That just doesn't mix. It doesn't mix. It's like putting this cake mix in the oven just dry and expecting something to come out. It has to be mixed up. They have to be able to bond to each other. And good and evil doesn't bond to each other. The 10th verse, it says, "Wherefore, all things which are good cometh from God, and that which is evil cometh from the devil. For the devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth us to sin, and to do that which is evil continually. And Moroni is going to tell us here in a second, really how we can figure this out. Draw it down to a fairly simple point. Verse 11, it says, "But behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve Him is inspired of God." So, you know, when we start down life's path here and we start trying to make decisions on which way to go and what to do, we have to start weighing these things. Is it inviting me to do good? Is it encouraging me to serve the Lord? Last night on the way home, it was, I don't know, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and I was listening to the radio, and Dave Ramsey was, program was on there. I'm sure it wasn't live, you know, but and a lady had called in and said, you know, or her dad had called in and said, you know, my daughter works at this place, and she doesn't believe in having credit cards. That daughter didn't, you know. Of course, Dave Ramsey's death on credit cards, but this place she works, it was one of the retail stores, says, you know, she keeps getting rid up because she doesn't pass out enough credit card applications. She doesn't get enough people to get credit cards. And, you know, what should she do? And, you know, Dave Ramsey said, well, she probably needs to find another job. She needs to find another job. We can't do things in life that are 100% contrary to how we believe. Otherwise, we really don't believe it. We might say it, but we don't believe it, you know. And so we have to weigh all those things. If it inviteth us and enticeth us to serve the Lord and to do what is good, then it's of God. To love God and to serve Him, it's of God. If it's dragging us the other way, or if it's keeping us teeter-tottering on the fence, it's not of Him. And we need to separate ourselves from it. Verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, take heed, my beloved brethren, that ye do not judge that which is evil to be of God, and that which is good to be of God, or that which is good and of God to be of the devil." And I want to talk about this just for a second, because I'm guessing that probably most of us are at least a little guilty of this. You know, I've heard people and I've said it, you know, "Oh, well, that's really good." Whatever it is we're talking about. I hear people all the time say about movies, "Oh, that movie was really good." Was it? Was it really good? Was it enticing you and encouraging you to serve the Lord? Or was it full of filth? So we're making a judgment call on something here. We're declaring that this is good when it's not, when it's really evil. You know, so I think we have to be careful. To those that are given much, there's a responsibility. To you and I, who is a part of this blessed nation, who is a part of this blessed people, we have a responsibility to truly understand what is good and what is evil, and to make that judgment call. Not on people. I'm not asking you to judge anybody in particular. But if something is good, you know, I had a interview invite the other day that came over, and on it says, "Meet for beer after work." You know, these guys wanted to do a little interview at a restaurant, you know. And I'm thinking, how do I accept that, you know? And so I called the guy up and I said, you know, first in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, it's great. They want to go to a bar somewhere or something, you know. And I said, "I'll meet you at a restaurant somewhere if you like." And said, "Oh, that would be fine." And so we went and had a glass of iced tea. And the guy who wrote that had a glass of iced tea, you know. And so, but we can't accept or call something good that's not. Even if it's kind of casual, it's not. The Lord calls us to judge these things. And by judging them, we're really saying, "Lord, I'm grateful for the blessings. I'm grateful for where I'm at. Not that I'm any better than anybody else, but that I'm grateful. I recognize, Lord, that I am blessed. I'm not just stumbling through life without purpose or meaning. Verse 13, it says, "For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge, that you may know good from evil. And the way to judge is plain." It's not gray. It's not gray. It's plain. Pretty much everything in our society anymore is gray. I realize that. But it's plain that you can judge good from evil. And the way to judge is plain, that you may know with a perfect knowledge as the daylight is from the dark night. Logan, is it daylight outside or is it dark? It's daylight. It's really easy to figure out, isn't it? All that light shining in? Yeah, it's daylight outside. It's not dark. We know that. But somehow when we have to make these judgment calls in life, it's kind of blended. And it's blended because we're not using the tools that the Lord has given us. This is in the book of Luke, chapter 12. I'm trying to think if I'm done talking about the last verse. I think so. Luke 12, 42, and it says, "And the Lord said, Who then is faithful and wise steward?" Still talking about pretty much what you and I have been talking about this whole time. And that is, the Lord has given us blessing, and He's given us an expectation that we're going to do something with it. We're going to take the blessings we have of freedom, of money, of a free choice to do what we want. You know, we talked about the world's population. It's funny when you look up something like that on the internet, of course, you get a whole lot more information than you really want. But there's maps out there and there's all kinds of charts that break down world population by race, by religion, by wealth, by freedom, you know, dictatorship, whatever it is. And you don't have to look very far to see that, you know, we really begin to fall in the category of really good. Really good compared to the rest of the world. You know, and we have the freedom to get up this morning and walk down the street and wave at our neighbor and walk into a church without a problem. You know, again, there's a huge percentage of the world's population that doesn't have that. We're blessed. Are we doing something with it? I'm going to read that first little verse again. It says, "And the Lord said, Who then is a faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord hath made him ruler over his household, and gave them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he come, shall be found doing." And that's a real simple verse. It's a real short verse, and it's become one of my more favorite verses. When the Lord returns, are we going to be found doing? I told Zach that on the way up there yesterday. I said, you know, the difference sometimes about being engaged and not being engaged is that part of us are spectators. I think by nature, part of us are spectators. We're comfortable hanging out on the couch and watching to see what's going to happen next. And then some of us are engaged. We're engaged in what's happening. If there's a football game going on in the neighborhood over there in front of my house, just by nature, some of us want to be out in the big middle of it. Others of us may be happy to hang out in a lawn chair on the front yard. And that's fine for a football game. But it's not fine for life. The Lord expects us to be engaged daily, every day, every waking hour, every moment, every bit of energy we have. Totally engaged. And it's the difference that makes a really good employee and a mediocre employee. We've all worked someplace where you think, man, how's that guy keep his job? Shows up 4 days a week. I got an electrician right now. Can't make it to work on Monday morning for whatever reason. He's satisfied to work 4 days a week. You know, he's not engaged. It's a real struggle to get to work. And I wonder sometimes, how's the Lord look at us? How's He look at me? Well, There's another one of those elders I got down there. Can't get to work on Monday morning. You know, not really that engaged in what I called him to do. Blessed is the servant whom the Lord shall find, when the Lord cometh, shall find him doing. Whatever it is the Lord has you doing, be about it. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant says in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall bring and shall begin to beat his men servants and his maid servants, and eat and drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will be cut off, will cut him asunder, and will appoint him a portion with the unbeliever. Kind of like the verses of scripture I read last Sunday. You know, there's this physical thing, a servant, but it's really a spiritual thing. The Lord is telling us a spiritual thing. He's going to appoint that servant a portion with the unbeliever, with those that weren't about it. And so I hope that if you don't get anything else out of my message this morning than this, that it's clear we're blessed and there's an expectation, not of me, of the Lord, that we do something with that blessing. The talents, the abilities, the money, whatever it is we have, whatever blessings the Lord has given us, which if you don't think you're blessed, then just start looking around. Start looking around. You know, I didn't watch much of the Olympics, but I watched a little bit of it. And you know what one of my favorite parts of that was? An advertisement for the, what's it called? The Olympics that are with, Paralympics, yeah. And you know, they got pictures of these guys skiing downhill on one leg. You know, playing hockey on this special skate that they set on, you know. I'm thinking, those are the guys, those are the ladies right there that are truly, not that these other guys aren't engaged too, because they are, obviously, but somehow that just really, to come from not having anything, from not having a leg or not having an arm, and you're playing hockey, you know, it's just crazy, but it tells me something about the person, the individual. It's a totally different mindset, total different perspective. No one would fault them if they just hung out in a wheelchair somewhere, you know, or in a bed somewhere. But they chose to not only get up and go do something, but get up and go play hockey with one leg, you know. And so where does that perspective or idea leave us? You know, the Lord has laid down the expectation. I've given you blessing. I've given you ability. You happen to be on the most blessed place on the planet. We happen to have the restored gospel in our possession. What are we doing? Are we going to be appointed an overseer of all that he has when the Lord returns? Because he comes and he finds us doing. Thank you.